Hello, y'all. Not sure how long this one will be. I'm just having my cup of coffee and figured I would do a little podcast. Why not, right? Right, so first, so the past couple of episodes, I've just talked about some of the movies that I've seen. I've been watching a lot of movies, and not completely, but a large amount of the movies that I have been watching have been ones that are extremely successful, the ones like on the top rated charts, for like IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes, for example. And I feel like this is a good gauge of completeness, because I mean these are all obviously. I mean, these are all great movies, obviously, all the ones on the top charts. And, looking through the lists, there were some that I have not seen. And I started watching some of these. A Godfather was one, for example, that I've never seen before, but I watched because obviously it's always up on the top charts of both IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes. So I saw Godfather. I'll have to watch Godfather Part 2. Schindler's List, I've never actually seen. Pulp Fiction, I might have seen. Actually, I don't think I've seen Pulp Fiction. Fight Club, I haven't seen. Inception, I've never seen. I've seen a good number of these, but I have not seen all of them by any stretch of the imagination. And I feel like, because there's just so many movies you could watch, you could spend your whole life watching various movies. They make hundreds, thousands of movies every year, And if you were born like in the 60s and you could like kind of watch movies each every year as they released, I mean, that's much simpler because you've had that time. But now in 2020, I mean, I'm not that old, so it seems like I have a lot of catching up to do. And you can kind of go wherever you want with that, but I feel like looking at the top rated charts is probably a good way to start, and then maybe you can branch out from there. But I'm not confining it just to the top rated charts. Like, for example, I've been watching like the Star Trek movies for whatever reason. The James Bond movies, I'm not sure if any of them are up on the top charted lists. Probably not. I mean, they're ranked well, but I'm not sure if they're that good. So I've gone outside of it. I watched The Godfather yesterday. And I enjoyed it. To be honest, I've watched part of it before, probably in my teens, and then I'd figured I'd come back to it and rewatch it. It was a good movie. I liked it. I understand why it's so highly rated. The main character, Michael, who eventually becomes the head of the family, is played by Al Pacino, right? And it's interesting that Al Pacino, I just saw he was the guy who played he played in Irishman too, if you've seen that movie, which is the recent mob movie that they made with Robert, right? Robert I don't want to say his name wrong. Yeah, so Robert De Niro, and then Al Pacino played Jimmy Hoffa, which he does not look like Jimmy Hoffa, or Jimmy Hoffa, the character, does not look like. I mean, it seems like Michael and Jimmy, they don't look alike. Like, usually when people age, they kind of look, they have like a resemblance. But it's harder to see that, I feel like, with Jimmy Hoffa. I'm not sure why. I mean, maybe you can see it if you put them next to each other. But it's not something I would pick out for sure. The Irishman was good too. It came out in 2019, so it was a recent film. It's a long one, 3 hours, 30 minutes. It has Joe Pesci in it as well. Al Pacino, obviously, and then Robert. Good cast. Good cast for this type of movie. I liked it as well. Yeah, but that's kind of what I thought was interesting. Again, I'm not sure how long this is going to be. I just kind of want to talk about one other thing here. So a Netflix new series came out called The Queen's Gambit. I actually really liked it. I haven't seen it all yet. I've seen the first three. I actually just watched the third one yesterday, and that's kind of why it's on my mind and kind of why I want to talk about it. Anya Taylor-Joy is, I guess, the main character, Beth, or Elizabeth. And then in the third episode, we actually met a character named Benny Watts, who is played by Thomas Brodie Sangster. And Thomas Brodie Sangster, you've seen in a lot of other films. He was in Game of Thrones. He was in the Maze Runner movies. He's been in stuff throughout his life, or I think he's been in the Maze Runner films. I swear he has been. I'm not seeing it on his movie or oh, this is his TV shows, but let's look at the guy's movies. Yeah, Maze Runner. Yeah, the Maze Runners, Death Cure, all of them. I actually never knew they made a Death Cure movie, because isn't that the prequel of the books? Maybe not. Maybe I'm mixing it up. Star Wars 2? Oh, yeah, he's Star Wars. Yeah, he's been in a few things. I forget what he did in Star Wars. I don't remember that. In The Force Awakens. I can't recall that for some reason. He actually has a pretty good resume. Yeah, he's been acting. He has a movie in 2001. When was this guy born? This guy was born. Gotta go back. Okay, so he's 30. He was born in 1990. Yeah, so he was doing stuff from like at least the time he was 10. So he has quite the resume, like I said. Which is good for him, but the reason I bring him up is because the character in the movie, Benny Watts, I think is just a silly. I honestly don't buy it. A lot of the show is well done, but for whatever reason, I just do not. The way the character dresses in it is just kind of silly. He wears like a cross between like a cowboy hat and like an explorer's hat or like an Indiana Jones type hat, and then he wears like a long Indiana Jones type jacket mixed with like a trench coat. It's really, and then the shirt he wears under is like a deep V-neck, so you can see like his. And remember, the setting of the show is like in the 60s or something, and everyone in the tournaments and everyone around in the hotel or wherever they're playing, they're all wearing like suits per the times, right? Because that's just what they did back then. But this guy is wearing just a silly hat that's like not in the t it's just really weird. It just kind it was like it like wasn't immersive, you know. If you're trying to get into a movie, that would just stick out and be like a silly decision that someone in 2020 would make or whatever, or whenever it was made, you know. It just seemed to me silly. I'm not sure what they were going for. Maybe they wanted to show him off as like a really open, creative. I don't know, you know, because I guess people who are extremely open wear kind of ridiculous stuff like that. You know, think. I mean, just think like Michael Jackson or something, or like Elton John or something. You know, they kind of wear obnoxious outfits. Maybe that's what they were kind of going for, because he is a really good player. He's actually the first. He's the first time we've seen Beth lose, I believe. So I mean, he is brilliant. Maybe that's what they were going for, but I'm not. I don't know. I didn't really like it. But maybe that's not why I'm making movies. Beth, though, I guess the reason I kind of brought this show up actually is because Beth started to gain a lot of fame through winning these various tournaments, and especially because she is a woman winning these tournaments at this time when there really wasn't any other woman who played chess. And her take on that is interesting because the journalists come, they interview her, and the articles are always about her just being a woman and not about her being just a good chess player. And Beth notices this and actually takes note of this in the show. And she said, "The whole article is just about me being a woman. It didn't put anything that I said or anything about my chess. It's just about her being a woman." And Beth noticed this, and I don't think she really liked that. And I think everybody watching the show would agree, like, yeah, why does it matter that she's a woman? It shouldn't really matter that she's a woman, just she's an amazing chess player, and that's what she's there for. That's why she's famous. So I don't see why it's relevant that she's a woman in the first place, right? And in the show, they do a good job of this. They do a good job of making it acceptable or believable. You know, like that's how Beth would react because a genius chess player wouldn't care about. I mean, you would think of, like, a genius chess player, all about chess. That's the character Beth. She's all chess. She doesn't do anything really care about anything other than chess. And I mean, she wouldn't be like a feminist type person. She wouldn't probably be someone who's quite particularly concerned about, I guess, woman's equality, as long as it's not prohibiting her to play, maybe, you know. And she just doesn't seem to be, I guess, maybe interested because she's a chess. I mean, she's a genius chess player, and that's what she does. And it makes sense. But she points that out in the article too, that it shouldn't really matter that, because that's what the whole article was about. And she pointed that out, and you could tell she didn't really care for that. And they do a good job because everyone who watches the show would most likely be in agreement with Beth because of the way that they portrayed it in the film. They'd be like, yeah, I know, why would it matter? It shouldn't matter, right? Clearly that, I mean, that's a fair, you're looking at her based on her merit, not her gender, right? Isn't that what you would like and ask for? So sure, everyone would agree. And the reason I bring that up, because increasingly, it seems like gender and also race has been increasingly more important. And you even hear, I mean, like now, clearly it is the case that colorblindness is perceived as racism or perpetuating racism, right? And that's, I mean, I have an article up from the Oprah magazine, and that's exactly what it says. It says being colorblind doesn't make you not racist. In fact, it can mean the opposite. And so I think that's why the story, Netflix, it's like they were almost in opposition to this belief, but saying so outright can gain backlash. But because they did it in the show with the character development through the plot, and they made it naturally, it was like a natural occurrence of the characters, how they would react in the show, in the environment itself. It made it work and it made it acceptable, and everyone watches it would probably, they wouldn't probably bat an eye. They would definitely agree with the main character. But if you say that, you get backlash. So I think that's why they did a good job doing it in store. Maybe, I don't know if that was an explicit thing they were trying to do or not, or it was just a natural outcome of the show there. I mean, I'm not sure what their intention was with that. But everybody watching the show would think, why should it matter? Why should they highlight the fact that she's a girl? But today, you can't just disregard the fact that someone's what gender they are, right? You have to take that into consideration. You can't ignore what race they are. You have to take that into consideration because, according to this article and many people who believe this sorts of thing, being colorblind doesn't make you racist, or being colorblind doesn't make you not racist. It can mean the opposite. So they think that it might make you racist if you are colorblind. And that's, and I'm not, and I guess, you know, I guess the idea there is that if you're colorblind, you're not taking into consideration current racism. Because I guess if you're colorblind and there are people who are harmed through like a systematic racism, then you can't just go on and be colorblind about it because that's kind of ignoring the problem. I mean, that's maybe why I would think that that's why they kind of disagree with that approach. And you're not maybe providing opportunity for people of color if you're colorblind. I mean, that's probably why, that's probably it too. But it's difficult then because, I mean, ideally, and I'd think everyone should probably, like, ideally we can get to the point where we are just looking at the merits of an individual and not taking and not having to take color or their sex into consideration at all, right? It seems to me like that should be what is sought after by everyone, right? So, and it seems to me like they're making color blindness to be the problem, but it's not the problem. Racism is the problem. People who are racist, that, I mean, that's the problem. I don't think color blindness is necessarily the problem, right? If you're just looking at someone based on, I feel like that's how you would treat people equally. You would just look at the merits of the person and ignore whatever they can't control because you can't control what race. So I feel like there's no reason to look at it. It's completely irrelevant, you know? Let's see what this argument says about it. Let me just take a look here. Colorblindness denies the lived experience of other people. I'm not sure how that does. I'm not sure how it does that. Okay, so they're going to explain how it denies the experiences of lived people. I looked. I don't think they really did a good job of directly answering that question, why it denies the lived experiences of other people. I'm not sure how that. I don't see how that's relevant. But then it says here, not seeing race denies systematic racism. And I'm not sure if that's necessarily true either. Again, because the problem's not colorblindness, it's racism, right? So maybe if you're colorblind, they think that you're not trying. I don't know. It seems like ideally, in a perfect world, everyone would just be colorblind, right? I wonder if they would agree to that as well. And I mean, it seems to me too, just isn't taking the color into the color of a person into consideration like racism? Right? If you're, I don't know, it seems like treating people based on their, is not treating them equally. I don't know, it just seems kind of backwards to me. And it seems like we've kind of gone beyond. I mean, I definitely see what they're coming from, and like they probably, I mean, I'm sure they have good intentions, obviously. But I'd maybe just have to talk to somebody, and because I just don't quite understand it, maybe. Because it certainly doesn't seem to me to be beneficial to probably anybody. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, in the. It seems to me like in ancient Rome, everyone was just, I feel like I read something somewhere, and it was like race wasn't really a thing back then. Everyone was just kind of various colors, and it didn't really matter. It's just kind of something you couldn't control. And I mean, obviously, it was racist America, right, or racist people in the West who started enslaving and treating people of color poorly, which caused the problem. But it just seems like to get somewhere where people don't take it into consideration is ideal, right? I don't know. But that's why I wanted to bring up Queen's Gambit, because I kind of thought it was related there. And I thought the show did a good job of presenting the case for the opposite, or presenting a case for the controversial opinion today, right? But, who knows? I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. Again, I would have to probably talk to someone and probably look to understand it a little bit more, but I don't know. I think that's what I want to talk about today, just those two things. So this is probably going to be a short one. My coffee's just about finished up anyway, so good timing there. And what is this, the third episode? All right, not bad. I've done one episode each day. I'm not sure if I'm going to do that or not. I mean, I could do two or three a day. I could do none a day. I could do, who knows? I don't have a set schedule. But it just happens to be that I've done one episode each day. And it's worked out fine, I guess. All right, well, that's all. Take care. Ciao.